payasos no ponemos la pared.
No somos muchos, no somos pocos, pero estamos todos locos.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Pocos Pero Locos. My name is Jorge Bejarano, and I've got my good friend and co-founder of Los Roots, Juan, here with me. What's up, Juan?
What's up, y'all? What's up?
All right, so we are excited to be back.
Hell yeah.
It was a, I want to say maybe for me it was, it felt like the longest off season.
It did.
Yeah, I think for me it was because we were way more prepared last year with a bunch of things that we got going on with the SG. And when the season ended, that it didn't end like we wanted to.
I know.
It went downhill for the last part of the season, and we just could not lift it up. But we'll talk more about that. But kind of like getting the SG rolling, after a while, I was like, okay, I have new ideas. I want to implement new designs. So I was, I guess, kind of like eagerly looking forward to the beginning of the next season.
Yeah.
And so it felt like forever.
And then we kept talking about, we got to do another episode. We got to do an episode. But, you know, we'd be, you'd bring the equipment and we'd be ready to roll. But then, like, yeah, shit would happen. And
well, I mean, it happened to us last year.
Yeah.
And again, this time where it's like, you know, January hits and we start preparing.
Yeah.
Right. We start ordering whatever we need for the SG. But it comes by so fast.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh shit, it's like next week already. Right. So it's like we also started the home opener with a fundraiser.
Yes, sir.
Right. And again, we'll talk a little more in depth about that. Los Roots wants to go to Miami, so we are looking for ways to raise money and having food or selling food, or not selling food. We were giving out food because it was more so a giveaway.
Yeah.
In hopes for some donations in return, and we got, you know, a good amount of people to go.
Yeah, people were really cool donating and tipping our
the bartenders.
Our bartenders,
huh?
Yeah. I think they got most of the money over
I know,
there.
Huh? but it was a lot of planning just for that. Not to mention we got new canopies, we got new flags, new designs, new merch, and all of it was mushed, you know, in trying to get it all to happen by the home opener. So as much as we wanted to do a podcast for the home opener, the day of, we still had a banner we had to paint.
Oh, yeah.
We had food we had to cook. We had new guests we had to be with.
Yeah.
We had the Los Roots merch booth going too. So it was just like our time was like well spent somewhere else.
Yeah. The home opener was constantly like, people were pulling me left and right. And I constantly, for different things, I was like, oh, go talk to Jorge. Go look for Jorge. When you were like, do we do a podcast? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, we do take the equipment and we're trying to find better ways to be a bit more consistent with how we drop episodes. But at the same time, if we do it every week, it seems that sometimes we don't have much to talk about. So it's kind of okay to miss a couple of weeks just so we can gather more information, more news, and then, you know, have a pretty interesting episode. So I'm kind of glad we are having this after the home opener, at least, because we can talk about a bunch of things, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, maybe we can start with something that I was really excited about for a long time already, and it was the new kits that we got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We got to get a little sneak peek in the preseason.
Yeah. Yeah, during the preseason.
Yep. And man, we were like,
yeah, man. The black one classic. With all honesty, it took me a bit of time to warm up to it. You know what I mean? But that also happened to me with last year's jersey and the year before that.
Yeah.
And it happens with any team that I go for. Anytime they release new jerseys, unless for me it's a banger, which is rare, most of the time it takes me just a little bit to be like, wow, that is pretty fucking sick, actually.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, we've mentioned it before, coming from the Raider side of things, the jerseys were always the same.
Yeah, man. And I remember reading an article about it that Al Davis had said it and set in stone that the Raiders will never change their jersey, their uniform, yeah, or anything. A part of me is okay with that.
Yeah.
But maybe the artist part of me, it's like, dude, you can do so much, yeah, with that, you know? And then I look at, like, if you look at, like, Oregon State, right? Those guys change their uniforms like crazy. And they have some sick designs. They use a lot of lime green and gold and, yeah, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then you have other teams in the NFL that are switching it up. I like it. I like the modern look. I like something to be excited for, yeah, the next year. And for the Raiders, although, of course, I bought jerseys every season of different players, I do wish I had a bit more to look forward to. So bringing it back to the roots, I like the black kit a lot. Yeah. You know, I like what Idris mentioned about it, you know, and it does have a meaning on why we have stripes and stuff. So but what I was really excited about, and I was like wowed when I saw it, was the away jersey.
Yeah, that one got the biggest reaction when he showed us the kits.
That's true. I could not stop looking at it. You already know me. I paint a lot of, like, cityscapes from Oakland, a lot of buildings and stuff. And one of them, it's the Tribune Tower that I paint a lot, you know. So when I saw the colors and Idris started to talk about the Tribune, it just made so much sense. And then you've got the stamp at the bottom with the, yeah, Tribune Tower, the orange, red, amber numbers in the back. The green around the it's just, to me, it was like one of their better jerseys I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, dude. Going to the new company way.
Oh, to Charlie. yeah, which, by the way, I'm really proud of being able to wear Charlie on it. Right, Charlie's a Mexican, yeah, brand. They do, but shoes.
The quality is just, like, way better than last year.
Is it the best quality we've had?
I think so.
I don't remember. I don't think I was Oakland Roots fan when they were under Nike.
Nike was the, yeah, first one. Yeah.
How were those? Do you remember those?
I had one, and I don't remember much about it because I got it. You know, they were already with Puma when I bought the Nike one.
Oh yeah.
And it was too tight, so I gave it away. So I only, yeah, wore it that one time that I tried it on.
Well, as far as, at least from that, from the Puma year and back,
Puma, Maybe.
Puma was a cool one. I like the black and silver, yeah, and then the green and gold.
Yeah.
And I also like the jerseys too. I really did like the baby blue one and the green one, and, you know, I really enjoyed those jerseys. Maybe it, now that we're with Charlie, I can see the difference.
Yeah,
hell yeah. You know, I liked Maybe when we had Maybe, but now that we have Charlie, I'm like, oh, hell no. Like, yeah, this is way better. The crest, the QR code, the C on the Charlie on the upper left or upper right, if you're wearing it, it sticks out. It's, I don't know, it just looks really, really well made.
Yeah, yeah, the patches and everything, they just feel different than any of the other jerseys. And, like, yeah, even the way it's stitched on the side, it's not,
yeah,
like the other ones where it was, it looked like it was just like one piece.
Yeah. This feels like an actual, yeah, professional jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were excited about that. And then, of course, moving into the beginning of the season, we, as Los Roots, and maybe we could talk about that right now, we have a fundraiser that we've kind of got going. And I think we're going to run it until the trip is possible. So we want to go as the SGs. As you guys know, we travel a lot, as much as we can. And I think now we're trying to find a tradition where at least once a year we go to one away game, and if possible, East Coast or somewhere where we haven't been before.
Yeah.
So this year was Miami.
Yeah, this year when we when the schedule first came out and we looked at all the away games, and everybody was like, what's up, which game should we hit? And the one that popped up the most was Miami. Let's go to
Miami.
That's
right. We did have other ones. I think at some point we want to go to, was it Pittsburgh, one of the ones we wanted to go to?
I definitely want to go to Pittsburgh.
Just the scenery, huh?
Their stadium, bro. Yeah, just, yeah. I don't know if anybody has seen Pittsburgh Stadium, but it's like on one side, it's like, I don't want to call it mountains, but like, yeah, it looks like mountains.
They're mountains, yeah.
And then on the other side, there's the river. And then across from that, you see like, I want, I'm guessing.
Is that
guessing,
the one that has a train that runs by there?
Does it have a train?
I think I remember. I don't know.
I don't
maybe,
know. I
maybe.
Just remember the water. And then what I'm guessing is like downtown.
I thought it was like Denver when I first saw it. It just looked very Denver-y. I don't know why. Like Colorado or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, just the location of it looks badass.
Yeah. But if you compare it to Miami, we're going to Miami. So the fundraisers that we're going to have, because they are multiple fundraisers, of course, the entire intent of it is to pay for first the Airbnb, because normally that's how we all stay at away games. We get an Airbnb and then, you know, 12, 14, 16 of us stay in a house. And so, of course, it's all out of pocket. Yeah. But it starts to get pretty expensive, especially going to the East Coast where, you know, your flights are pretty expensive. People like you, it's two of you guys. So yeah. You guys got to double up.
And we got to stay there a little more time since we're flying all the way to the East Coast.
Right.
We got to extend it because that flight is long. So
it
might
is.
As well make it worth it.
That's right. So if we can get the amount we need for the house and we have leftover money, then that would go to our van rental and of course for any groceries or anything that we have there. But you know, we're first of all focused on paying for the Airbnb, right? And we got a good amount with the food. Our next one is a raffle, and this one's pretty cool because I kind of
I wanted
to keep it. I haven't bought a ticket because I don't know if it's fair for me to play.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool giveaway. So what we did is we got two jerseys.
Yep.
Large. I'll say the size just in case people are wondering. Two large jerseys. And one is the away Tribune one.
Yep.
And it's signed by the entire team.
Yeah.
And we also got the goalie kit.
Yeah, the green one.
The green one. And we also got that signed by the whole team.
Yeah.
And so whoever wins, of course, not one winner takes both, but there will be multiple winners. We are going to give out some of our merch, flags, and whatever we can offer people so we can have more winners.
Yeah, multiple winners.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're there. We're going to continue to promote the raffle. At this next away game, we're going to be at Line 51.
Yep.
If you guys are looking for a place to watch the game, come watch it at Line 51. I'll be there. Ask for Jorge if you don't know me just yet. Or if you do, just look for me and I'll have raffle tickets. They are $10.
$10 a ticket.
Which is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, hell yeah. Know? To win a $100 jersey that's autographed by the whole team.
Yeah, dude. That's a
can't
deal.
Can't beat that with a
bat.
Well,
not only that, like a lot of the other prizes, like hoodies that we're gonna give out and scarves and stuff, it's all totally worth the $10, you know. So get multiple tickets. You guys are welcome to get as many as you want. So we'll leave that there. If you guys do want to participate, make sure to, we're only doing this in person, so we're not doing anything online, like any online sales for the raffle tickets. We'd like for you guys to fill them out in the back and then put it in the box that we have. And that way, you know, if you guys aren't there the day of, you guys still get a call, you guys still become the winners. Because I've been to raffles where they'll call your name a few times. If you're not there.
Really?
Yeah, it's they want like a live winner.
Wow.
You know? So we won't do that.
No.
Fair and square.
If you win,
we'll
call you.
We'll call you, yeah. So that's why we want to do the in-person tickets so you can fill it out. You can get as many as you want. There's no limit. And then, again, there's going to be multiple winners. So it's going to be pretty fun. So let's move on to home opener.
Yeah, the home opener just happened.
It just happened.
2 weeks ago.
That's right. And we played Indy 11.
Yes, sir.
There could not be a better feeling than winning your home opener.
Dude.
You know? Yeah. Especially with how much work we did in the offseason. And I'm sure the team, too.
Yeah.
A lot of new players. Oh, yeah. A lot of new faces. And so, but even on our end, too, right? We worked a lot. We planned a lot. Even with the section, and we will talk about what's new in our section, too, soon. But, yeah, so much work went into that that, you know, it's like this built up of you know, different emotions, excitement and anxiety, and you just want to get it over with, and a lot of people were tired the day of, you know, it's a lot of work, and then we win. So the Roots scored first. Is that how it went? Do you remember that?
I don't remember, bro.
Well, we were drumming.
We were drumming. That's what people ask me, the stuff about the game, and I'm like, bro, I'm drumming.
That's true, man. It's full dedication.
Yeah.
I you see me. I'm facing the crowd.
Yeah.
All 90 minutes. It's very rare that I look back.
Yeah.
I do take it as a responsibility. My knuckles were bloody.
Yeah.
My drum heads were covered in blood. I had blisters, but it's still a responsibility that I take very seriously, and we continue to drum. So,
you know, I might be jumping ahead, but this second game, Jorge wasn't able to be down there in the stands with the drums. So I was basically in Jorge's position, and I don't realize that I'm looking up at the people. I'm looking up at our other drummers because I saw pictures, and somebody, I want to say one of my coworkers, was like, "You're not even watching the game." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm drumming. And my other drummers are watching me for the, you know, the next beat or whatever."
Yeah.
So my focus is over here.
100%.
Keeping it going.
Yeah. You just hear the crowd go wild.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And even then, when they score, there comes another responsibility, right? Yeah. Like, we've got a chant that comes.
When we score.
When we score. Yeah. So instantly, as soon as I hear the crowd go wild and you know, somebody alerts me, "Hey, we scored," we move on to our chant that we use for that, and it's a lot of organizing.
But it's ourselves. Funny because I didn't plan, like, okay, when I'm there, I'm gonna be looking that way because I'm used to looking over at you.
Oh yeah,
which you're facing us.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize it until I saw the pictures that I was looking up at
them.
I wasn't looking. I had my back to the game.
Well, and the only time I'm sure you turn around, it's to talk to Steve.
Yeah.
You know, that's there's so much organizing. Steve is a few rows down.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's new in our section, too. It's like the drums used to be at the bottom. We realized that, you know, we wanted to move up, see if that changed anything. And at least for the moment, I felt good about where we've been sitting. We're like maybe like six rows up, seven rows up, something like that. We also have a tuba player.
Yeah. Right? We had a tuba show up.
And I can hear it. I, you know, it, of course, sometimes it you're just listening to your drum.
Yeah.
But yeah, and especially in videos, I can hear him, you know, do his thing. So I like it, man. I like when he shows up and he's doing his thing. So shout out to Peter.
Yeah.
He's been in at some practices.
Yeah.
He's been doing his thing, man. And it's a lot of work, too. This dude is like, that thing looks heavy.
Yeah.
You got it over your shoulder.
I asked him after the home opener. I was like, bro, like, we're drumming the whole game. And yeah, we get a little tired, but it's like, you know, we're drumming.
You're not carrying
anything.
I was
like, how do you feel? You carried that thing the whole game and you're blowing the whole game. Yeah. Like, and he's like, "I'm a little tired, but it was exciting."
Dude. Yeah.
I like it. I was like, okay.
One thing I didn't know about tubas is you got to drain them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Getting all that spit in
there. Yeah. I think it's spit, of course, you know. You're just blowing into that thing all night. So I saw him like filling a cup up. I was like, what is, and I was, never mind. I know exactly what.
Wow. you know what? I know we already jumped into the game, but let me go back to the tailgate, bro.
Oh, yeah.
The home opening tailgate was badass. The parking lot was full. Like,
yeah, we should talk more about that, actually. Yeah. I think I skipped it, but yeah, tailgate. So if you guys have been to Raider tailgates, I want to say that was, for me at least, it was 50% the reason why I went to Raider games, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed being there from super early and you know, being able to party for hours, because tailgates go by quick.
Yeah,
especially here at the Roots, because we don't tailgate for that many hours. It goes by really quick. It's like you just, it takes some time to set it up, then you party, and then you got to break it down, and that takes time too, right? So for the Raiders, it was a bunch of hours. I mean, what, 7 in the morning till 1 p.m.?
We'll get there before they even open the gate.
That's right. And before, it was way, way before that too. Yeah. But yeah, 7 in the morning till 1 p.m., that's a lot of hours to party. And here, the home opener, I mean, it wasn't intentional to try and recreate what's going on with the Raiders, but it's only natural that that's the way that it's headed.
Yeah.
You know, tailgates are a lot of fun. They're a great way to de-stress. They're a great way to not be focused on the game and still hang out with the people who share that passion. A great way for people to have some drinks with friends that they normally don't see during the week. And then after a really great time, then you get to go watch a soccer game and be loud.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, the tailgate was really dope. We're in the same section. If you guys ever want to join us, we're in Lot A.
Lot A, yeah.
Literally right by the entrance. You cannot miss it. If it's, it's the only entrance to the Roots games at Cal State East Bay. And if you guys are entering through the, you know, of course, the main entrance, or the only entrance, if you look back, you're going to see the flags.
Yeah.
You're probably going to see a group of people just hanging out. So come by, say hi. We always have food to give away. We always have drinks to give away. We play music and we just kind of hang out, you know? So sometimes we do the podcast live there.
Yeah, we have.
Now we're introducing this thing called Los Roots TV.
Yeah, coming soon.
Yeah, coming soon. We have, well, I guess it's not an episode because I don't think it's going to be aired, but Melissa, which is going to be one of the hosts of Los Roots TV, and our good friend Nestor. Both of those guys, they you know, picked up a camera with some microphones, and they're just going around doing trivia questions, regular questions, crazy questions, funny questions. And then we're just going to upload it and throw it onto a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and they actually had a little, I guess I could call it a practice run at FanFest, which we were actually a part of.
Yeah. Shout out to Jorge from 68s for allowing us to be a part of it.
Yeah, the 68s, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that man, it was a large crowd, and it was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know how much I needed that, you know, until it happened.
Yeah.
And it really, what it did for me, it's like it of course there's all kinds of events here in Oakland, but I don't know, there was something about, like, I hadn't been to an A's game in a long time. But when I did used to go, I was really devoted to the A's, you know. And of course, being part of the Fan Fest, you know, and just that feeling of everybody supporting Oakland, especially the teams, and just like having a day for the fans. I remember they used to have all kinds of players signing stuff, and you can go and get a root beer at the East Side Club or the West Side Club.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had the kids zone. They would give out tickets, and it was just a really fun time. And I hadn't experienced that in a long time. And so when Fans Fest happened, I got a flashback of it all, you know. And to see so many people in green and gold, although I'm no longer an A's fan, it's been a while since I've been an A's fan, it was still a nice scene for me, you know?
It was cool, you know. Of course, it was kind of focused on the A's, but it was the Oakland Fans Fest.
Sure.
And it was cool, you know, the Roots were there, the it was a bunch of Oakland teams. The
Oakland Spiders. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had a lot of local vendors.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
We had a booth.
We had a booth.
Right next to the Oakland Roots. We had Los Roots. And then we had another booth that I run, or another art page, Instagram, whatever you guys want to call it. It is Abstract Oakland. If you guys aren't familiar with it, go and check it out. I do a lot of art based on the city of Oakland. A lot of Lake Merritt stuff, a lot of cranes and cityscapes, as I said before. So we had that booth. There was Beast Oakland. Oaklandish was there, 68, and a bunch of, like, local breweries and stuff. So it was especially with how Oakland has been recently, you know, not too good. It is the wild, wild west, truly, here in Oakland.
But it was nice to see that big crowd, and we had fun.
Yeah, yeah, really good time. So we're kind of all over the place, but it's kind of been like that. The whole off season has been full of just all kinds of stuff, you know. So we're just trying to fill you guys in and kind of what we've been going through. So another, and we can skim right through this. Another really cool thing that we've got going on is a coffee booth.
Yeah.
At the Oakland Roots.
Felt like it was a hit.
It was, man. So for everyone who doesn't know, we started a little coffee booth because me, myself, I don't drink. So, of course, they sell beer in there for everyone. But for me, it's like I need some caffeine in me, right? So the only time I can have some caffeine is at the parking lot, but nothing really that I've seen inside, like no energy drinks or coffee or anything. So even from Laney, I was like, yo, where's the coffee? I'm a big coffee drinker, so I that'll be perfect for me. And there was no coffee. And as time went on, I mean, I guess I kind of let it go, just knowing that there would be no coffee, until our good friend Nestor, who's part of Los Roots, myself, we thought of opening a coffee booth in the facility. Nestor jumped on the case, and he figured out how we could do it. He talked to people within the Roots. They let us know what kind of permits we needed, and bam, we got a coffee booth.
Café
Raíces, that's right, man. And it was a hit. We are selling regular coffee. Of course, the theme, it's a bit on the Latino side, hence the name Café Raíces. But, you know, of course, we have regular coffee, but we also have Café con Canela, which I had to Google how to even say that.
Really?
Because you can't say, like how would you say it?
How you say it?
No, but how would you say it in English?
Oh.
If you say, like, cinnamon coffee.
It sounds like.
Well, it's funny because I've told people this. Oh, put some cinnamon in your coffee.
Yeah.
And they sprinkle
cinnamon dust. No.
And that's not what I meant. Yeah. So in Spanish, it makes more sense. But it's actually, so we boil the water.
Cinnamon sticks.
Yeah, cinnamon sticks. And you boil the water in cinnamon sticks.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you make a tea out of that, like a cinnamon hot water tea. And then you use that for your coffee.
Yeah.
And I mean, at least for me in Mexico, it's very common.
Yeah.
I grew up drinking that, which is another weird thing, like how we're little.
Yeah, kids drink coffee.
Yeah, early or at night.
Yeah.
We would have coffee at night.
Yeah.
But anyways, not the point. So the Café con Canela is really good. A lot of the Latino people who showed up to support the booth, they were like, oh, yeah, give me some of that. It's just not everybody makes it like that, and it was a hit. Now, the biggest hit was the hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
And Nestor, he's from Argentina, and so he was not too sure about the hot chocolate. You know? Yeah. So not that he was against it, but he didn't realize what kind of a hit it was going to be.
Yeah.
And he says it now. We need another, like, coffee pot thing.
Yeah.
Because those things hold like 75 cups, right? And we ran through it twice.
Oh, dang.
So, and the Café con Canela went by quick. The one we didn't run out of was regular coffee.
Okay.
But we did run out of the other one. So Nestor was like, dude, we need to get another urn.
of just hot chocolate.
Yeah, by halftime, we were sold out. And we had to rebrew, which when you have a booth and you're running off of generators, it's so much energy just to power one of those urns. It literally takes one generator to just power it.
Damn.
So in order to like re-brew or reheat another urn like quick, it's so hard. It's like 20 minutes just to get the water super hot, you know? So people were like tripping out, man. They were like, hey, well, we had a big line and Nestor got a bit nervous. I got nervous too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is our first time running a booth. So we see this huge line and I was like, oh shit, we ran out of hot chocolate. So I yell out of the booth, we're out of hot chocolate. Dude, I wouldn't say like 10 to 15 people just fucking bounced, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want them to wait in line, you know. But it goes to show how many people wanted to. But we also did have people come up to us and be like, will you have it again tonight? And I was like, yeah, like 20 minutes. Dude, people would come back 20 minutes exactly.
Nice.
And be like, you said, you know, yeah. Because it wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
The hot chocolate was ready, but the water wasn't fully hot. I didn't want to give nobody no lukewarm,
yeah.
You know, hot chocolate. So I was like, it's not ready. Dude, and they were pissed. They're like, you said it was going to be ready in 20 minutes. And I was like, dude, trust me. I want this shit to be ready.
Yeah.
But it's not.
But it's cool that it was. I mean, it. You know, honestly, it gets a little chilly up there. So hot chocolate is like the right thing to have.
Well, especially with kids.
Yeah.
You know, that was it was we want to say a lot of Latinos were super into it. Because it's abuelitas. So, you know, again, another tradition. Or traditional drink that we normally have. But the crazy thing is that it was one of our hotter days we've had, right? So a lot of people who even walked past by early during the game, we were getting no sales at first, right?
Like, when the sun was still out?
Oh, dude, the beer was the hit, right? You see people walking with like six beers on them, you know what I mean? And we had no sales, right? Our first coffee that we prepared, it was a gift for me to one of the cleaning ladies. She walked past by and I was like, hey, you know, cafecito con canela. And she was like, oh, you have that? I was like, yeah, here you go, you know. And she tried to pay and I was like, nah, this one's on us. And right after that, we had our first sale. And then it just started trickling in more and more. By the time the sun went down, dude, oh, everybody, like nobody was buying beer anymore. And the line was at the hot chocolate booth. Somebody else sells coffee there, but it's cold coffee, not hot. Okay. So even from the beginning, people were like, yo, like coffee, what the hell? Hell yeah. So huge hit. I can only expect that it's going to be even more of a hit the next game because more people are going to know about it. We also did have a great view from up there. So it was a great time.
I know I did a double take because shit, Los Roots drinks, you know, Los Roots be drinking
big time.
And I'm drumming, and I look over, and I see Melissa with a cup of coffee. I was like, what?
She went up there. Yeah. And Blanca also went.
Oh, yeah, Blanca
there.
Too, yeah.
She was up there. So next game, we might be closer to the entrance, so look out for the booth. I didn't mean to spend so much time on the coffee, but it is something we're really proud of. It does get connected to Los Roots. We have our logos up there. I think at some point we're going to see if we can maybe even do some merch online sales through there.
Yeah.
Not sure. But for now, coffee, hot tea, decaf, all that stuff, go and get it. It's really nice when the sun goes down because it does get cold and breezy there. So nothing better than like a little hot chocolate or a coffee. So moving forward, we started, let's continue to talk about the home opener. We started to practice and to try to prepare a bit more for the games. So we've had a couple of off-season practices, which have gone really well. One of the practices was with Steve. Steve and his good friend. Oh, man, and he's going to kill me for not remembering his name, but...
dude, I've talked
Raul.
To this. Raul.
His name is Raul. Look at that, man. Oh, man.
There you go.
I'm good under pressure.
Yeah, so in the off season, we started doing practices. We went practice at our usual spot, which is at Don Fer's house, thanks to Don Bombas to, you know, letting us use his house. And we had some practices there, which was where Beto introduced the new chant that so far has been a hit.
Oh, man, so good.
Yeah.
I've watched so many of those videos. It's really good. I'm not going to sing it or hum it, but it's good.
It's pretty good.
You know, one of our better ones for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had another practice with the hooligans, and luckily Raul let us use his place to...
Yeah.
The hooligans were painting their TIFO.
It's like a, what is it called?
Like a batting cages
type of deal. Yeah. And he was, Steve and the hooligans were painting their TIFO.
Yeah.
Really cool idea. If you guys haven't seen that, I think we have it on our page. If not, for sure, the hooligans have it on their page. But man, sometimes people don't realize the amount of work goes behind that.
Yeah.
How one image can seem like, oh, I can paint that in one day. Even for Steve himself, right? I'm sure he looked at it and was like, oh, yeah, ah, that'll be quick.
Yeah.
And then you realize how much work it takes, yeah, and that you've invested way more time and money than you should be, you know, yeah, because they get pricey too. Yeah, but they did a great job. It was a Tribune Tower with a player pointing at the crest. Mm-hmm. His face was made out of mosaic. And then it said for
the town, for the badge.
No, for the
badge for the town. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's for the town.
Yeah, for the town. Yeah. That's what it was.
But the player pointing at the badge, like saying, yeah, you know, like, this is why we do it.
Right. So Steve had been talking about this for the entire offseason, and it was nice to see it happen. He's got a video of the time lapse on his Instagram account, the Homegrown Hooligans.
Check it out.
So shout out to all those guys, man. We've been in close contact all offseason for practice, for TIFOs, for designs. They've got a lot of merch out too. Really cool designs. John made their logo for this year. Really colorful. It's that tree with all the different color leaves. Check them out. The Homegrown Hooligans on Instagram. And we also got a bunch of merch as well. We've got hoodies. We've got scarves.
Yeah, windbreakers.
Windbreakers, shirts.
Shirts,
all kinds of everything. Stuff, too. Yeah, and some really cool stuff, too, man. And if I could, I would drop so many designs. But we're trying to take it easy. You know, I'm still trying to catch up on some of the past orders. So new chants have been a success. Home opener was a full success.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else to say about the home opener that you see there on the list? Anything that's attached
to it? Well, I mean, the home opener would be a good... Oh, well, you know what? Yeah. Who showed up at the home opener was the 66 mob.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We got to talk to Alfonso.
Yeah.
From the 66 mob. And if you guys are not sure of who or what that is, the 66 mob is notorious for having... their own place at the Oakland Coliseum for the Raider games.
Yeah, they're basically, I started calling them SGs once we got into the roots. Yeah. But basically, one of the biggest...
It is a supporter group.
Yeah,
it
one
is.
Of the biggest SGs for the Raiders, the 66 mob.
Except they don't call themselves SGs.
They don't,
It's a soccer culture thing, yeah.
And they're the 66 mob, also known as Forever Oakland.
That's right. That's their charity, which they do a lot of work for the city, in the city of Oakland, which is really cool, and we're hoping to be a part of that somehow this season. But so, as you guys know, the Raiders left, and a lot of us, luckily us, we found the roots early on, and we were able to kind of transition over to the roots and still kind of, you know, create this culture of tailgates and stuff. But I can't imagine what happened to a lot of the other groups, right? Like, what do you do? You know, and so Alfonso reached out to us and wanted to know more about what the vibe was like. I do appreciate him reaching out because some people don't, you know, they don't care if you've been doing it already. They don't care what the culture's like already. So
yeah, it was cool for him to ask some questions.
Totally reached
and find out.
Yeah,
what's going on?
He was
how
like,
it works.
I don't want to step on any toes, but I want to be a part of this. You know?
Hell
and
yeah.
So
that was cool.
We welcomed him, and his friends came by, and I asked them at the end of the game. It seems like they had a great time. Yeah. I asked them after the second game.
Yeah, they came to the second game too.
Yeah.
And
I was excited to see them with flags and marching in with us and stuff. Yeah. So. Shout out to the 66 mob.
You know what was badass was when we were tailgating, once we were cleaning up, think, and then all of a sudden, you know, our DJ had our, we had a DJ at the home opener at our tailgate. Oh, and the second game. But anyway, once we were cleaning up, and then 66 mob started playing all those traditional Raider sounds, bro. The bells. Dun.
Everything.
Dun, yeah.
Literally, but
dude,
what's crazy?
That shit took me back, bro. Yeah. I was like, am I in D-Lot right now? Am
what's
I at the
crazy
Coliseum?
Is that those songs, everybody at the tailgates, at the Raider tailgates, it's the same playlist.
Yeah.
It's the same songs.
Yeah.
It's the same everything. So you're right. When they played it, it's an instant flashback.
Yeah.
And what I really like, too, is that they felt comfortable enough to play their music and do their thing. And, you know, and that's kind of what we're trying to create right here with something we'll talk about soon, which is La Union. But that's exactly what we want to do. What we want to do here in La Union, you know, just have a space where people can totally be themselves.
Hell yeah.
And do their thing, especially if you're from Oakland and you've gone to a lot of the sporting events here in the Bay Area or in Oakland specifically. You realize what the culture is like.
Yeah, that tailgate culture.
And we're trying to recreate it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So far, it's been a hit.
Yeah.
People are getting there earlier and earlier. We sometimes are now getting to the point where we're getting there at noon.
Yeah.
You know, and then partying till like 5:30.
Yeah.
March in and then do our thing down there. Yeah. So
that was the only difference from us tailgating back with the Raiders and tailgating now for the Roots was for the fucking Raider game. We were basically be in line to like the game was already starting. Oh, and we were
never did I see the first quarter. Never, which is crazy.
Yeah,
but I also want to say it's like as soon as we went in, we'd go straight to the bar.
That was the other problem. But now as an SG, we have responsibilities.
Yeah,
so
and we go down, we set our banner up.
Yeah, we get in there early, set up the banner.
Yeah, and so now that we talked about it, let's talk about something that's super brand new.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about.
Hell yeah.
Unfortunately, we couldn't have our friend Steve here today. I wanted him to talk a bit more about it. Steve, we shout you out, man.
Yeah.
I know you're going through your stuff. We're here with you, man. We're excited to see you the next game, and you know, keep putting all that effort in, man. We're here with you. So I wanted him to be here because this is something that we all created, which was John,
off-season.
Yeah, John, Steve, yourself, and me.
Oh yeah, and that's how the idea came up was us just hanging out at Line 51.
Yep.
And fucking
we wanted to because what was going on at least in our end was that there was a lot of representation of our SGs with banners up front. And we wanted to find a way to condense that a little bit.
Yeah.
And also kind of condense both SGs into one big section, right? So the idea was to create an umbrella.
Yeah.
Right? It's an independent umbrella of supporter groups, right? And what that truly means is that every supporter group is independent. They can do whatever they want. They can create any TIFO they want. Or they can literally do whatever they want, you know? But we're just all under one umbrella where basically what that allows us to do is to have one big banner as a section. And then we represent our own SGs with our flags, merch, whatever it is. So the Hooligans and Los Roots got together and created this umbrella called La Union 1852.
Yes, sir.
For the people who don't know what 1852 means, Juan?
It was the year Oakland was established, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. And I think it's only popular in like the yellow flag.
Yeah.
That's where it's represented the most. I don't think a lot of people even go by 1852, but you know, if you're truly from Oakland, you've seen that year. Yeah. So for those who didn't know, that's what that means. The year Oakland was founded. And so that's what it is. It's a union of supporter groups intended to support
the team.
The team.
Yes, sir. And the town.
And the town, exactly. Specifically, the town. One thing that I do want to throw out there real quick is I really, 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 really want to shout out the front office. I want to shout out the entire staff of the Oakland Roots. Especially, I want to give a huge shout out to Idris himself. We've seen some behind the scene things on what's going on with the Oakland Roots, and we realize how many obstacles the team has had to overcome.
Oh yeah,
in order to just be in Oakland, you know. And there has been all kinds of votes. There's been all kinds of meetings. There's been all kinds of obstacles, some shady, some not. It's been a fucking roller coaster. And this is us just watching from afar.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what they have to go through. I mean, even when they had to move from Laney to Cal State East Bay, they had to do that within a week.
Yeah.
And those are all obstacles, right? The turfs and you know, coaches leaving and players leaving. And so it's been so much. And we've seen teams fold.
Yeah.
Right? And it's very real, especially if the MLS league is near you.
Oh, yeah.
You run into trouble there.
Yeah.
Right? So
rest in peace, San Diego Loyal.
That's right. And that was a really good game for us to go to. And it sucks that, you know, even though they were rivals, it sucks to see a team fold like that, because we got to see firsthand how passionate their fans were.
Yeah, and that's crazy. That was really crazy to see them fold, because every time we went there, there were, like, the stadium was full. Their SG section was huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, we got to really support the team.
Big time. Big time. And so that's exactly what La Union is. It's in no way, shape, or form to go against the team. It's more so to support them in whatever way we can. If it's on the field, off the field, whatever it is, we would love to help them, you know, in any way possible. And so even San Diego Loyal, I mean, it goes back to the MLS, right? They had another team. Was it the MLS 2? That was near them, or MLS 1 that they...
No.
The new team that they have there in San Diego.
It's going to be in the MLS. I don't think it started this year. It's going to be there, like, next season.
But
they're called, like,
but they,
San Diego
they kind of blocked them out. They kind of blocked out San Diego.
Yeah, Loyal was trying to build a stadium.
Yeah.
Or play at the I believe, or play at the stadium, which now San Diego FC is going to play at.
Right.
And with MLS coming into town, yeah.
Also, practice facilities.
They didn't have a practice facility. Yeah. They were trying to build that.
So the Roots are facing similar problems.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean,
we have a practice facility, but, you know, right now is like they're trying to secure it for the next 10 years, I believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got that hating-ass motherfucker Fisher trying to get his hands in there.
And we should talk about it a little bit real quick. Not too much in depth, but Fisher's involved in all this shit, man. He hates Oakland.
I don't know.
It's got to be it. Like, what else?
Like, you're taking your team out of Oakland.
Yeah.
And then
you don't want to work with the city.
Yeah. But then you're still trying to, like, own parts of Oakland. And
yeah.
And now his MLS 2 team.
Right. Which is affecting the Roots.
Yeah, like, it's going to be called the Town FC now.
Funky.
Like, what the fuck?
Funky.
Get the fuck out of town, bro.
So, you know, we'll talk quickly about that. Is that, so Town FC already existed.
Yeah.
And they were playing in San Ramon. They were going with the full identity of Oakland.
Yeah, originally.
Yeah.
You know.
Which, and we'll talk about this. It's fucking funky
shit. If you're the Town FC... It's the town. You're from the Bay. Oakland's the town.
Right. There is no other town.
Yeah.
So what this guy did, it's ex-owner of the Roots started Town FC. And from what I've seen is this dude's just been talking shit on social media anytime the Roots do anything.
Every chance he has.
He's trying to fucking cock block everything that he can. It's the truth, man. And it sucks that there's people out there like that.
Yeah.
But because he hasn't been so successful, now we have Fisher, who owns the San Jose Earthquakes.
And the A's.
And the A's. This dude also has the Bay Area blocked on a lot of things, especially with the MLS.
Yeah.
So San Jose Earthquakes had San Jose Earthquakes 2.
Yep.
Right? Which is a third division?
Division 3, yeah.
Yeah, Division 3 team.
From MLS Next Pro, whatever that league, their own little league or whatever.
So now this Fisher guy...
Teams up
with the ex-Roots owner to fuck over the Roots, because the Roots are just now in talks on trying to get their practice facility.
Yeah.
They're trying to play at the Coliseum for 1 year, and they're trying to build their stadium, right? So they're trying to build something, but these two guys team up, and then he gave the rights of the Earthquakes to Town FC.
Yeah.
Right?
So basically, the Quakes 2 is now going to be the Town FC. Yeah.
But there's been enough hate from us, the true Oakland people, on their social media. If you guys ever look at their social media, please do go down the comments and see what people really think about this Town FC thing. They had to change the identity of Town FC because they were getting no love from the actual
from
town.
From the town, yeah.
And I do want to say this, guys. When I first heard about the Town FC, I went through their Instagram fully, and I mean fully, the town meant Oakland.
Yeah.
Everything that they promoted was Oakland. The tree, the flags, the everything, right? Now they're calling it the town FC, but it's
in Moraga.
Every town.
And they're playing in Moraga.
They have a video that says, like, the town is not just this. It's, we play for every town.
Every
out
town.
There. Yeah. It's very bad marketing.
Yeah.
And they're only going to grab fools as their fan base. People who are unaware of what's going on.
Dude, even people that followed Quakes 2, they're upset about it because, you know, Quakes 2 would play in San Jose.
That's right.
And now they're like, so now you're telling us we got to go from San Jose all the way to Moraga?
Bro.
Like, it's bad all around.
And that just smells like bad vibes all around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, luckily we're not dumb. When we can see right through it. So if you guys want to dig, we don't want to tell you what to do, but do your research. Don't fall for the bullshit.
Yeah.
There's only one soccer club now in Oakland, and that's the Oakland Roots.
The Oakland Roots.
And I
baby.
Do want to say, going back to giving them the hugest shout out, because I get to see a lot of behind the scenes shit and all these obstacles. I want to continue to give them a shout out for working extra hard on staying in the town. You know what I mean? Outside of everything that they've had to go through, they've have shown us completely that they are down to be with us, you know, that there's an actual reason why we support this club. And they've done, outside of just soccer, man, being part of the supporter group, these guys have done incredible things for us. We've gotten to see things behind the scenes. We've gotten to be a part of the jersey release before the jersey was released. And we just get all kinds of perks of just by being a supporter group. And I've mentioned this before. This is something that other teams, we've never gotten from other teams, you know, the type of attention and the love that comes from Idris and his staff is unreal,
yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
So shout out to those guys.
Shout out to them. Yeah. And, you know, they're trying to, I don't know, it felt like they're trying to block us, but we're coming back to the town, baby.
Yeah. Juan, are you eating right now, bro?
Bro, why you gotta point that shit out?
Because you're always eating.
As it is, so people think I'm always out. Eating.
Are you not? People are correct. All right, guys. That's one thing we do joke around with Juan is that this guy is always eating. Always eating. We have like deadlines sometimes at the tailgate. Hey, we gotta paint this banner. And I look at Juan. He's eating, you know. Once he's done eating, he'll get productive. But anyways, what were you saying right now before I interrupted you with your eating? That
the big news, the big vote, 6-0, 6-0.
Wow.
6 votes, I or whatever. However the fuck they do that shit in city council. 6 I votes.
Is it I?
To allow the Roots to play in the Coliseum.
In the Coliseum, man. Yes, huge, sir. Huge yep. News. We knew about this for a while now. We knew it was in the works for the Roots to play in the Coliseum. But we also didn't know what kind of obstacles. And as time went on, you know, you've got the A's fighting for the field too.
Yeah, they're trying to play here next season too.
Or more years, right? Like they want to be here until...
Their lease ends this year, the A's lease. But they're trying to extend it to like 2027 or something.
Yeah, until they get their stadium.
Yeah, their stadium, if it even happens in Vegas.
Right, so they've also been making it pretty hard on the Roots in different ways, you know.
Yeah.
Do your research. There's a lot behind the scenes that a lot of information you guys should be aware about. But for the moment, you know, the A's made it real difficult. And it was one of those votes where we were all just like, it just kind of went by in slow motion.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just waiting and waiting. And I tuned into the meeting. I tuned a little bit late, but I heard, you know, that it was unanimous.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 votes to nothing. And I was like, yo, hell yeah. So what this means is that we've been in what, Cal State East Bay 2 years?
This would be our second year.
And, you know, it's been a weird 2 years because it's a great venue.
Yeah.
Right? The view's great. They allow us to tailgate, till late.
Yeah, it's been a good experience.
Good experience, a great experience in my case. But it's not Oakland.
It's not Oakland.
And there's been a lot of things that we've kind of had to hold back on, even TIFO making.
Yeah.
That we want to represent Oakland, but we're like, damn, but we're not in Oakland.
And, you know, it's going to happen. We've even had, like, other teams and shit throw little jabs at us talking about, the Oakland roots of Hayward and shit like that.
Yeah, right, right. But knew damn well we would be back.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know? Hell yeah.
So we are finally going back to Oakland, and not just Oakland. We go back to the Coliseum, man. Like, that thing, I don't know, man. I don't know if it should be demolished already or not, but I don't care. I'm glad it's still standing.
Yeah.
And that we're going to get to play there for 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year.
Right?
That's the plan.
With hopes that with at least when that year is going by, the Roots are building their Malibu site field, which for now looks really cool.
Yeah, hell
We've
We've
gotten to see some of the renderings of the stadium, and it looks pretty badass.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that, but looking even more forward to playing at the Coliseum. We've already got ideas on TIFOs. We've got ideas, you know, on all kinds of stuff, man. So we won't go too far, but those are great news.
That is great, great news.
Do we have anything else on the news part that could be connected to the Coliseum? Probably not, right?
No, just hopefully 2025 we'll be at the Coliseum, 2026 the new stadium. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot to look forward to.
But we still got this season to go to.
And this season just started, bro. And we're already talking about 1-2 years from now.
I know, man. But that's kind of how it works, too. Yeah. It's like if you don't prepare, you know, you're going to get left behind. And so this season, let's focus on this season real quick, is that we, of course, got Miami. We, I think, now are going to make it some kind of tradition. Maybe not every year, but maybe so. Vegas.
Oh yeah, yeah. We went last season to Vegas, and it was 14, 15 of Los Roots.
Yeah, about 15 of us.
And
then
it was plus some Hoolies and some Oakland 68s.
That's right.
They met us up there.
Great game.
Yeah.
I like the field. I like the venue. I had a good time.
Yeah, it was a good
first time.
Except
in Vegas
for being like 100 degrees at night, but.
Yeah, but you know what? It was, dude, I've been into like shittier places where like the heat is unbearable.
Okay.
I don't know if maybe because we were indoor. I don't know. But it just, the heat didn't bug me at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't feel that hot. That day we were drumming a lot and we were sweating like crazy. I don't think I was sweating that much in my life. But it just didn't feel like, you know, I've been to like Kansas when it's fucking hot as shit or, you know, down south like Coachella Valley, that's like fucked up kind of heat, you know what I mean? Like,
which that's coming up too. Los Roots in Coachella.
Los
look
Roots
for us.
At Coachella. That's right, man. We're going with our good friend Eddie, man.
Yeah
it's not
football related, but Los Roots we do
travel a lot.
Yeah, Los Roots, we're not just a supporters group, it's like we're a pinche familia. Like,
yeah, that's right,
we
man.
Fucking do all sorts of shit outside
together,
of football.
I don't think there's a day that we don't chat and just talk about random funny stuff and share memes and stuff. It is just like Juan said, the Roots success is only due to the type of friendship we have. It's not fake, it's very real. A lot of people think we've known each other for a long time and we really just met, but we've met the right people.
Yeah.
You know, and so I want to give a huge shout out to our people too. You and I started this shit thinking it was just going to be you and I.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, like, I look back, dude, and, like, I see all the drums and, like, all the chants and all the people. And sometimes I, like, take a step back and I'm like, this is so cool that we were able to put down a name for a community.
Yeah.
And people just came by.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when I see, like, when we take a group picture. Because sometimes I don't realize, like, when we started, it was just four of us. And it was just like, we'll be Los Roots SG. Yeah.
No commitment at all.
Yeah, we didn't even think like, oh, yeah, we'll get more people. And No, it was just, let's do it.
And now it's just like one thing leads to another. Now we're trying to become a nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
We're working on that and a bunch of other stuff that we're also working on.
We opened up membership this season through the Chant app.
Oh, yeah, we have the Chant app.
We had a bunch of people come on board.
Yeah, man. And so we'll throw this here too. We're getting near an hour right now, so we'll cut it off. We've got a lot to talk about, but we definitely wanted to do this episode just to, you know, bring it back, share all the news and stuff. But before we do go, we'll talk about the Chant app. And so now we have open registration for Los Roots Supporter Group. Before, we weren't sure how we were going to do this, but we have been studying other supporter groups around different leagues and stuff, and we're you know, trying to figure out how they run things and all that. And by the way, we are in close contact with some of the folks at 3252 in LA. Great people, especially the Road Trip Boys. Shout out to those guys. They've invited us down to go learn more from their culture and how they do things. If you guys don't know, 3252 is one of the bigger supporter group umbrellas or unions in the MLS. Yeah. And they are killing it.
Yeah, they get down.
By far, you know.
Yeah, they have like 12, 15 SGs inside of their umbrella.
And a lot. And they managed to make it look effortless.
Yeah.
You know, with that many. 3252, it stands for the amount of people that fit in that section.
In that section, yeah.
But, of course, it has now spilled out to more.
Yeah, right? Yeah. They're definitely out on the edges.
On the
and
edges.
Everything, yeah.
Right. But, so, you know, they've invited us to go down south to LAFC's home area and to see how they do TIFOs and how they just kind of run the organization, you know. So we're looking forward to connect more with them. But so this year we decided, okay, let's not have very picky standards on how we allow or the process of bringing people into Los Roots. So we did an open registration.
Yeah.
And next year it'll come with different perks, but this year it already does.
Yeah.
We have some discount codes we're allowed to use as a supporter group. Yeah. We get sometimes news ahead of time. We get dibs on certain things. We get
our own merch as well.
Our own merch. That's right. We get discount on our own merch. We get invited to special events by the team for being a supporter group. So many perks.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you guys want to be a part of it, go to our Instagram account, which is losroots_SG.
Yes, sir.
And click on the link on our bio. That's going to be a link tree, and you'll see different links, one to this podcast. Eventually, we'll have one for Los Roots TV, but one for our shop, which is mixed with Abstract Oakland. So feel free to go through that and see what kind of merch we have available at the moment. But you'll also see the link to
the Chant app.
The Chant app. shit, I was blanking out on that one. The Chant app. So the Chant app is really cool because that's where we share all kinds of news, all kinds of special events.
Yeah, upcoming games, tailgates, all that.
That's right. It's a great way of communicating and seeing who's in the supporter group as well. So if you want to be a part of it, you do have to download an app. I promise you, it's not intrusive. You're not getting alerts or anything crazy like that. It's just a really, really great way to communicate with everyone. You can upload photos there and share, you know, your experience at games. Yeah. And you can chat with all of us. We've actually had members join there first.
Yeah.
And then we met them after.
And then we met them at the tailgate.
At a tailgate. Yeah. So for those people too, and I want to make this super clear, if you're listening and you haven't came up to us for whatever reason, I've gotten a lot that people are shy.
Yeah.
Or they're just not sure if they can come up to us and talk to us or whatever. Please do.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Come by, say what's up. We've got all kinds of free stickers and all kinds of free stuff all the time, man. So we the more the merrier.
Yeah.
You know, I think also one thing that we're also getting into, of course, we all have our own drums, but we all have extra drums that we're working with the team. Hopefully they can help us transport the drums down to the bottom.
Yeah.
But we want to have more drums for more people to go and bang on, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you want to be a part of it,
join us on Chant app and then, you know, be a part of Los Roots. Come say what's up and, you know, tell us if you want to bang on a drum and we'll tell
or wave
you
a flag or
wave
whatever.
A flag.
Yeah.
Hey, if you play the trumpet, please come on down.
We've been saying that for a while. Anyway, so just kind of finishing it off, we've got one away game this Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday, the watch party will be at Line 51.
I think it's going to be a good environment, especially because we're facing
Phoenix,
the champs. We got to call them what it is.
Yeah. Last year's champs.
Yeah, man. Jeez. Yep. I don't even want to get into that. But we're going to face them. I think it's going to be a good turnout. If you guys want to show up to Line 51 towards Jack London area, it is kid-friendly, family-friendly. We sometimes take our little soccer bino things. Yep. We have tournaments there. Sometimes we do podcasts. It's a really good place to be at for an away game. Yeah. You know,
we'll have raffle tickets.
That's right. We'll have raffle tickets and stuff. And also, we'll have raffle tickets at the game,
at the tailgate,
and
yeah.
at the coffee booth. If you guys want to be a part of that raffle.
After that game against Phoenix is this Saturday. After that, we go back to come back home and play Vegas. Las Vegas March 30th.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah. And we'll be out there tailgating and everything. You know, come on by.
Yeah. Please do. Please come by, say hi, get some free stickers, get some merch, and represent. So we'll see you guys soon. I think that hopefully for the next game, we want to have Los Roots TV available for you guys. But we also want to have another podcast. All right, guys, if you guys really enjoy this podcast, feel free to send us DMs, messages on things you want to talk about. If you guys want us to shout you out, whatever it is, man, send some messages to us, communicate with us, and then let's just be one big old family. All right. Juan, thank you for everything.
Thanks for having me here.
We'll talk soon. All right, guys. Peace. Go Roots,
baby.